Hello to everyone who is joining us for our service today. I welcome you. My prayer is that you come before God today with thanksgiving and joy. Now, when you were a kid, did you have a monster under your bed? Or maybe in your closet or at the bottom of the basement stairs? These can be dark and scary places for a little kid. Maybe your parents couldn't convince you that there really wasn't a monster there and it was imaginary. It was still real to you. So they probably said if you needed to reach under the bed or go into the closet or the basement, they would come and be with you to protect you. So just like the darkness under the bed, there are dark places in our lives, even as adults. Spiritual darkness, where all the scary stuff is, be it real or imagined. Is there some sin that you are afraid will jump out of the darkness, grab you, and then hustle you away from God? Just like a protective parent escorting you into a dark place, our Father does the same thing for us, promising to be with us and protect us from anything that could hurt us. How reassuring that we have a guide and a protector in God.
Before I begin, we had a monster that lived in our basement in our old farmhouse. That old stone basement. Oh, I can think to this day how I tried very hard to send Rhonda down instead of me. It is a joy to be here. We'll begin as I invite you to join me in prayer. Loving God, thank you for just an absolutely gorgeous, beautiful day. Thank you for each person here. And God, we ask that you would be with those that are connecting digitally, but also any that might hear through the week. God, you love each person. You care for each one. And God, I just ask that for those here, that you would speak to them, that you would use the words that are shared, that they come from you. And God, that you would allow each one to open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have provided. In Jesus' name, amen. Where are your steps taking you? Have you really thought about, is your day just a routine and you just kind of get into same steps, same approach, same stops for coffee in the morning or various things? Is it so routine? But where are they taking you? In your walk with Jesus, do you or others see a change in you? And when I say that, do you see in you a difference from a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? And I'm not talking about age. But is there a difference in how you approach life, how you function day to day? And maybe you can say, yes, I recognize it. But what has been reinforcing is someone else has said, how do you deal with the things you go through, or how do you handle the challenges of life? And you are always that person that is so upbeat, or you seem to weather the storms. They see something in you. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, we're not going to read all that, but Jesus heals a blind man. He told this man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash off the clay spittle that Jesus had created and put on this guy's eyes. He said, go to this pool of Siloam and wash it off. The blind man encountered those who knew he had been blind as he was returning from the pool of Siloam. Siloam, however you pronounce it. But the point is, they recognized immediately something was different. The blind man believed, and his life was never the same again. It was obvious that he wasn't blind, but they'd always known him to be blind. Do you suppose there were a lot of questions? How did this happen? You were always the blind guy. And they recognized the difference. And the blind man knew what it was. He knew that Jesus had made a change in him. The divine light of Jesus had entered him. It's that simple. There is a difference between a life walked in light and a life walked in darkness. When encountering people who are doing wrong, are you afraid that that would rub off on you? As you think about, a story was shared of, and I'll use the name it was given, Phyllis, because we don't have any Phyllises here, so that's a safe name today. But Phyllis is this lady that came to church week in, week out. But you always knew she was there because she wore perfume that permeated the room. I mean, it was just so powerful. And that was just who she was. But she was a hugger. And, you know, you didn't want to avoid Phyllis. But by the same token, you didn't want to be rude. But if Phyllis hugged you, you smelled like Phyllis for the rest of the day. And that rubbed off. That's the analogy, the principle. Are you afraid if someone is living in a dark lifestyle to be around them for fear it may rub off on you? Will we reflect their behavior or smell like them? That's the question that comes to mind. And it's so easy to fall into that trap and say, man, I don't want to go there. And I literally struggled with that. When you fall into the habit of using colorful language, that is very hard to break. Because everywhere I travel, people use colorful language. So I would try and avoid certain situations because I didn't want to hear it. What was interesting, when I was working in my secular job as a supervisor, as a director of a department, I had guys on the crew that I knew were very colorful in their language. I hoped it wasn't in the public setting. I didn't think that would set a good example. But what was interesting to me is when they were around me, they didn't. They refrained to the point that some of them kind of choked a time or two because they didn't say it. But they recognized that I didn't appreciate it, and I didn't have to say anything to them. They recognized not to do it. So it's that setting an example without saying anything. Many fear engaging their neighbors for fear they will be corrupted by their actions. And there are people that is very real. Another little story comes from a man who happened to be a pastor of a church that was very against any alcohol consumption. And that was something that they really believed in, which is okay. But a neighbor hosted often a margarita party in his garage on a Friday night or Saturday night. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But this individual would not go. He felt, I'm setting an example. I'm not going to go. And as the story goes along, the question that was asked of him, have you ever had anybody ask you why you don't go? No, they just know. So the individual challenged this pastor, go. You don't have to consume anything, but just go. So the next time he was invited, he went. The neighbor kind of picked his jaw up off the floor, you know, as he walked in. And he had a can of pop, and he stayed for the duration. He interacted. But the result of that was he had more questions over time about his belief system, his reliance on Jesus, that none had happened before, because he was setting an example. Well, the example didn't lend itself to interact, to be neighborly. And it opened a lot of doors. Was Jesus afraid of humanity's corruption rubbing off on him? Think about if you as you read the Gospels and Jesus, that never really entered into the story, did it? He was always engaging people. He was always going out. And in a lot of cases, most cases, it was the marginalized, the ones that did have the smell, that did have poor behaviors. But that didn't matter to him. How are we supposed to engage those who might live in a spiritually harmful ways while not imitating them? How can we blend in? How can we stand out in a positive way? Today's text from Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 tells us we are light in the Lord. We're going to go through those verses again. Verse 8, you used to be like people living in the dark. We've all been there. We've all lived in a lifestyle or in a life that maybe we didn't attend church. Maybe we didn't have Christian friends. Maybe we didn't believe in Jesus at all. But people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord. So act like people of the light and make your light shine. Be good and honest and truthful as you try to please the Lord. Don't take part in doing those worthless things that are done in the dark. Instead, show how wrong they are. Notice it said, show how wrong they are. It didn't say, go beat up somebody, go verbally abuse them over their actions. Just show how they are wrong. It is disgusting even to talk about what is done in the dark. And I think we've all heard nothing good happens after, and you can throw in the time, but it's usually after dark. But the light will show what these things are really like. Light shines up everything, just as the scripture says. Wake up from your sleep and rise from death, then Christ will shine on you. Let the light shine in your world. Ephesus, which is where this section of scripture was written to, the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a cosmopolitan city with several belief systems. They were kind of all over in their belief. There was the Jewish sector, there was Gentile sector, and then there was a lot of, we'll call them sectors. Paul used the metaphor of darkness and light to convey his message. So as you heard it now twice, and I hope that you, again, go home and maybe look through it slowly, the darkness and light message. From the context of what Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, darkness symbolized sin, especially sexual immorality, obscenity, greed, and idolatry. That was the darkness side. Light, on the other hand, stood for love, goodness, righteousness, and truth. So as you look at that, you can insert, greed or idolatry or immorality where it says darkness, or you can insert goodness, righteous, love where it talks about light. The light metaphor is used often in the New Testament. Matthew 5 and verse 14, light of the world. John 12, 35 through 36, children of light. Today's reading from Ephesians 5, 8, light in the Lord. John 8, verse 12, light of the world. 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. So we have a good resource of what light is. We have not been made light by our good works. You can't do good enough for your works to count to that extreme. You may live a wonderful life of love and giving, but you are still human. You still make mistakes. Our works will not bring that about. It is because we are in Christ. His atoning work has made us light. That light is not something that we have done, but it is a gift. It is Jesus Christ living in us. That's the blessing. If we fear being corrupted by the darkness in this world, could it be that we think of ourselves as less than we and than what we are? Do we make it about ourselves? I know avoiding certain situations because I didn't like the way the language was, because I didn't want it to rub off on me. Who was I thinking about? It was me. That wasn't the focus that needed to be there. The focus was to let the light shine. In Jesus, we are light, and light has no reason to fear darkness. Just like as Bob was talking about monsters in your home as a kid, we know that's not real. We know that now as an adult, sure as everything. Do we let darkness impact us? Do we avoid certain people because we don't want to be around that darkness, or do we don't want their smell or their imagery to be a part placed on us? Do we fear darkness? If he lives in us, Jesus lives in us. We need not fear catching the corruption of the world. We don't have to worry about it. We are living in light, and that light is Jesus living in us. Will we do it perfectly? No. Will we make mistakes? Yes. But living in that light is such a blessing to those around us. When we separate ourselves from Christ, we can find ourselves living in the shadows. Maybe not full on dark, but the shadows. We can start to slip back into our dark ways. We find ourselves striving for perfection. We worry about living our life under the standards that we set for ourselves of this perfection or this do. This is what's good. But if we live and let the light of Christ shine in us, it reflects out. Others notice it. They may or may not say anything, but if it's of enough magnitude, they will ask, how can you cope? How can you deal with what you're going through? I see the things around, and yet you have a smile on your face. Maybe not every day, but more days than not. That's letting that light shine. Jesus looks for the willingness to repent, to turn back, to see ourselves in him. There isn't a day goes by that that's not available to us at any point in the day. If we feel like the shadows are kind of coming in around, we can look to God and just ask for his light to shine, to help us through, to cast those shadows away to where it's bright beautiful Son, the light of Christ. Chasing away darkness is part of the role of Christians. Well, how do I do that? You live letting that light shine. In order to chase away darkness, light needs to be in proximity to it. When you go into a very dark room, there's no light. Or if you've ever been in a cave and they turn out the light and it is dark. And that dark just feels like it just permeates all over you. You know, when they say, oh, okay, hold your hand up, man. You can't see your hand and it's inches from your nose. And you wait. And they turn the light on. And the darkness just goes away. Goes clear into the background. Goes up against a void that you don't have to worry about. Because that changed everything. That light immediately gave you a way to get see, to move. But it brought forth a joy because that darkness was going to get real old real quick and real scary. But the light changed everything. In verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. We are to be in proximity with those who at times do dark things, so they can see the futility of their behavior. Does that mean you go walking down the street looking for somebody that you can shine your light on because of their dark world? I don't think so. But being available to other people, to be like that pastor in the story, to show up at a margarita party. He didn't condemn anybody. He enjoyed conversations, and people literally ask, why are you here? What's the difference? Allowing that light to shine forth. You don't beat people up with it. You don't knock them down. You allow that light to shine. How we oppose sin matters. Are you such a godly person that your light will cast away darkness? Again, it's not your works. It's not you. It's Jesus living in you. We do not expose darkness by assuming a posture of confrontation. Challenging people, that's never a positive. Who wins in that? Nobody. It usually ends badly when a conflict like that happens. But if you can walk beside somebody and hold your tongue, maybe answer a question, but you don't condemn, you allow Christ to work in your life, and they see the difference. They acknowledge, wow. You know, a year ago, you would have said this and you would have done that in this situation. And you go, you're right. A year ago, I would have. Praise God, it's not happening today. And it's because of that embracing of Jesus. They may not want to hear it, and that's fine. But if it goes on long enough, somebody's going to ask a question. How does this work? If you've ever had somebody come up, and some have, I want what you have. Boy, that's a good beginning. That's a great way to start to show what I have. You want what I have? Well, this is what I have. And they may turn and walk away, or they may ask more questions. All you did was just shine the light. No, you allowed the light to shine through you. Big difference. We expose darkness by treating our neighbor with compassion, empathy, honesty, openness, and love. Some neighbors are hard to do that to. Other neighbors are just, you know, that's awesome. One of the most interesting things that I've been reading about, and a number of friends that I have, once a month, they have a get-together on their driveway, outside the garage, have chairs, neighbors come by. They may have drinks, they may have food, they may just have a conversation. It's interesting, one friend lives in Aurora, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. He said they got snow on the week, on the Friday night they were supposed to have all the neighbors over. He thought, well, so he got out and started shoveling snow. Others came and helped. Neighbors came and helped. And when it was time for their get-together, people brought their lawn chairs and they sat on the driveway in the cold. But they appreciated the value of relationships, of neighbors helping and loving neighbors. They laughed about being there in the cold. They laughed about shoveling the snow off so that it could even happen. Whose light got shined on that night? It wasn't my friend. It was Jesus carrying forth in relationship. We expose darkness by focusing on the love of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. We live demonstrating his life in us. This happens through authentic relationships. They're real. These neighbors that gathered on that driveway in the cold and the snow, it was authentic. This was real. This was a conscious choice to come in that environment. It wasn't sitting in their basement in the front of the fireplace. This was outside. It happens when we meet our neighbors where they are. All our neighbors are in different places. And love them right where they are, seeking nothing in return. It happens as we live questionable lives, causing others to ask about the joy they see in us. It happens as we preach random acts of kindness and outrageous generosity. It happens as we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. It happens as we practice radical forgiveness and uncommon humility. That's when the love of God happens. It's very real. Loving others is not always pretty. And we could all talk about how ugly sometimes that has been. Sometimes loving others is a challenge. I had a neighbor that lived down the street from me that drove me nuts. She was always coming by, needing a ride to go get something, usually a pack of cigarettes. She always was looking for her cat. She had lost her cat. And then the lot that I own south of our house, her cat liked it there better than he did with her. And I struggled with not arguing that fact. But this lady was lonely. It was difficult. And when the doorbell would ring, if you looked out, I don't want to answer the door. It's that lady looking for her stupid cat again. I really did struggle with how to react or work with this lady. It was tough. I finally resolved, God, you love her. You know the situation. Help me change my attitude, my approach. And over the course of a few weeks, that did change. She one day was there talking, and she was going to be moving to Kansas City to go to KU Med Center for a very rare and fast-growing cancer. Her life was on the bubble. Well, I thought of a lot of my thoughts on her and her stupid cat, and that was wrong. Because this probably was a part of her temperament and behavior before it was even diagnosed. Because it was diagnosed at a very late stage. I missed opportunities. Hopefully, before she moved, she recognized Jesus, the light that he shined. Not me. He shined. And yeah, loving others is a challenge. It's worth it. The challenge is worth it. And it won't always be pretty. Jesus, by the Spirit and to the Father, lovingly bore all our darkness. Which one of us can say that they don't have darkness in their life currently and for sure in the past? All the sins of the world, everyone, and was not overcome. Jesus bore it all so that we could be who we are, so that he would love us as we allow shadows to come back, but he allows his light to permeate and be in us. What a gift. Let us participate without fear in the work he is doing to bring light to all dark places. It's his work. We just have to participate. We just get to participate in what he is doing. It took me a long time to wrap my mind around that with that particular neighbor that I was talking about. I didn't see God in that at all, including in me. And it all changed when I did. Did I change? I let God's love come forth. Jesus is in you. So shine on. Let that go. Let the opportunities happen. Be grateful that you're a vessel that is allowing the light to shine to others. We don't know what is going on in their world. We can't fix their world. We can come along beside them and represent Jesus Christ. And in a lot of ways, not saying a word. Just allowing that light to shine. Jesus is in you. We move now to the Lord's Supper, communion, where we get to participate and share in a meal that Jesus provides for us. In 1 John 1, verse 3, that we which have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Sharing this meal is a fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood." The table is open to all. Jesus loves each person. He cares for each person. He knows where each person is in their walk with him, past, present, and future. He has given us his body and shed his blood to bring us to him, to give us life, to give us the light of Jesus. If you would bow your heads, please. Loving God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the light that emanates from you. And God, as we go forth in our daily walk, let your light shine. Let us not put a filter or a screen on it, but allow it to flow. And God, we thank you for the elements of Jesus, the broken body and the shed blood, that we can participate with him. We can ingest him. God, what a gift you are. I just pray for your blessing and pray for your direction. And God, let us be those that live a life with your light shining through us. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set. When you take the elements, take a moment of reflection and then participate and enjoy Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, again I thank you that we have been able to meet together to praise you for your love, your protection, and for walking next to us, and even leading ahead of us while we negotiate this world that is full of sin and rebellion. We look forward to the time when every knee will bow to you, when tears will be wiped away, and we will be able to fully see and understand your glory. We look forward to that time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Have a great week.